she was excited, but as children normally do. Ah, today's message, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Thank you, Tamu, for reading for us. And today, we're asking a basic question today. Scripture says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Anybody tired today?
Yes.
Anybody frustrated today? Anybody sick and tired of being sick and tired? Anybody puzzled today? Anybody perplexed today? Anybody worried today? Anybody wearied today? Anybody stressed out today?
All of the above.
All of the above. You know, Jesus says here in this passage, he gives us a couple commands, two commands or two invitations, and with the invitation comes a promise for each. And the promise is, if you accept Jesus' invitation, you will be given rest and you will find rest. I don't know about you, but I think we need to get a Costco card again from our family. You know, we don't have a Costco card. We haven't had one for years now. But I miss Costco. When you go to Costco, there's always free stuff being given away. There's always some sampler being given away in the aisle. Anybody is a witness to that? They're always giving away free cheese or free something that you can, if you just come by. It's open to anybody. You know that. Anybody can come. Once you're there and you pass by there, if you're so inclined, you could just go and you get some samplers. And if you want to, you could walk around the aisle and come back for seconds. And if you want to, you could do that again for thirds. And Amen. There you could have a meal.
Amen.
Yeah? I know. Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's look at what scripture is saying here. Come unto me. When you are stressed, where do you go? First question. When you are stressed, where do you go? Now, some people, when they're stressed, they turn to sex as a stress reliever. I shouldn't say that in church. I just scared somebody to death, half to death. But we can start there. Some people turn to alcohol as a means of relieving stress. Some people use drugs as a way of getting away from reality and going into their own reality. Some people play games, whether it be online gaming or you go to the Packer game and you try and relieve all the stress that you have. Some people have their own little man cave deep, deep, deep down in the basement where they can lock away stress. Somebody was writing it on Facebook the other day. Some parents now have learned the beauty of having headphones. You know, because your kids can be crying and you're in the space, but if you plug in some earphones, you won't be able to hear anything. And that's your way of getting away from the stress. Or you teach your kids the game, who can remain silent the longest. Come on now, you know the game. And if you're silent the longest, you get a prize. Or maybe you play hide and seek. And it's their time to go hide, and it's your turn to go seeking them, but you're not really seeking them. Come on, cover your ears, kids. These are some of the secrets that your parents do whenever they want a little peace and quiet, a little rest. I'm giving it away. My kids are sleeping. They're not paying attention. They're not old enough to understand it yet. Where do you go when you need rest? Do you take a little break away from church because there just may be too much drama at church? So you take a vacation. I was talking to my son today and I asked him, where is my big boy? He said, your big boy is on vacation. But the little boy is here. Amen, amen. Where do you go when you need rest? Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest comes as a consolation prize to those who come to Jesus. And you know, it's a pity that Jesus said it this way, because I've been taught that Jesus comes searching after me. That's what I was taught, you know. You know the scripture in Luke chapter 15? Jesus gives three parables there in Luke chapter 15. First, he talks about the lost coin. You all remember that, right? A woman had 10 coins and it may have been a part of her wedding gift. You know, just like those of you who wear rings, you have your wedding rings and sometimes it gets flushed down the drain. I know, by accident. Come on, somebody say by accident. It doesn't mean anything. It's just by accident. Well, she lost a coin that was precious to us. And scripture says she went through the house sweeping and looking for that coin. And people tell me, pastor, you're only a good pastor if you go looking for souls like this woman went looking for her coin. Amen? Nobody's going to say amen. I'm going to say it for myself. Amen. And then they give you the story of the lost sheep, right? This guy had 100 sheep. And one of them was the bad sheep. Anybody, any bad sheep in the house today? Always going missing. Always running away. Always buying yourself into problems. The bad sheep went missing. And this shepherd left the 99 good sheep. The 99 obedient sheep. The 99 tame sheep. The 99 domesticated sheep. He left them. Who did he leave them with? Nobody knows, okay? He just left them and he went searching for this bad sheep. And when he found the bad sheep, he beat the bad sheep. Amen? That's what the scripture says. He didn't. He put it on his shoulder and he took the sheep home and celebrated. And people say to me, pastor, you're not a good pastor unless you go searching for the sheep that is missing. See, the expectation is that Jesus will come searching after us. But here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, the command, the invitation is, you come to Jesus. People forget about the third parable. Somebody say the third parable.
The third parable.
It's the parable of the lost son. See, because people get lost differently from coins and sheep. People have caller ID. You know that, right? They know when you're calling and they know whether they want to answer you or not. Amen? People have doors that they can slam in your face. Amen? People have ways and means that they can lose themselves without you being able to find them. And if you are here today and you have ever been a part of an estranged relationship and you have pursued this individual or individuals time and time again, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that some people are lost to you and they do not want to be found. People miss the difference that the father doesn't go chasing after this boy. Did you catch that?
Yes.
He sits at home. He prays. He did what he could do while the boy was in his presence. And it was an invitation that brought him back home. He thought to himself, he had to do some self-reflection to understand that that was not the character of his father, that his father wasn't a tyrant. came to himself, the scripture says, and he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take myself up and go on back home. Come unto me. That's what the scripture says. It's a little different because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. But there are some people who don't want to be found. That's the honest truth. And if you're honest with yourself, sometimes you've placed yourself in certain situations. You don't want nobody to be bothering you. I know you don't hear this at church many times. You don't. But I'm going to preach it today because there's a reason Jesus says this. It is here for those who understand their need. How many times have we given people stuff and they look at you and they say, thank you. We appreciate this so much, but they didn't need it. And the moment you turn your back, that stuff that you gave them, you probably gave them the best book ever written by some spiritual giant. You gave them something that could save them. You gave them something that could turn them away from their path of destruction. But the moment you turn your back, that thing goes in the trash. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Come unto me. Many people have a textual relationship with Jesus, but they never quite approach him in person. And maybe the reason is we never quite see ourselves. We never see the need that we're in. We think we're okay. We don't really, yeah, we're stressed, but what we need is some coffee. Amen, amen. Amen. All we need is our morning coffee and we'll be fine. Seventh-day Adventist pastor preaching about coffee. Well, that's what our church members are doing. They think all they need is a little, you know, pep, a five-hour energy. Amen, amen. Five-hour energy and I'll be fine. But Jesus says, all ye who are labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. Maybe we're still looking at the outward condition. We still are looking at people's clothes, the way they dress, how much they give, how happy their Facebook pictures look. And we're not looking at the heart. We're not understanding that man sees the outward, but God looks at the heart. We have no real sense of the struggle of the soul. Like Laodicea, we say, I am rich and increased with goods and have no need. If you sense a need today, Scripture has an invitation to you. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ellen White writes in the Review and Herald, July 23, 1889, Christ cannot take up the names of those who are satisfied in their own self-sufficiency. He cannot importune in behalf of a people who feel no need of his help, who claim to know and possess everything. Did you catch that? For Christ to pray for you, you must have a need. Last night I was arguing with some youth and we were arguing about it. What is it that God requires most from us? Is it the desire? You know, people say, I just want God. I don't want anything else. I want a desire. I want to desire him. I desire him. You know, you're all I want. You're all I ever needed. And I said, no, I think it's need. And we had a long discussion about that. But I'm still convinced that many people in church come full and leave empty. Paradoxically, if you come to church full, you don't have a need, you will leave empty. When you come here, maybe we should have an admission price for coming to church. And what you need to pay at the door is a need. What is your need today? Why are you here today? Is there something that you want God to do for you today that only He can do? Many of us come with no sense of need, so we have no sense of what we want to praise God for or to pray to Him for. All ye who labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. What does it mean to come to Christ? See, before in the Old Testament, you had a better sense of what it would mean to come to God because God was at a certain place. If you came to the temple, you would find God there. His presence was concentrated in His temple. And so people prayed towards the temple. Their focus was all towards the temple. But now in John chapter 4, verse 19 through 24, Jesus tells us that God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So coming to God is not a physical thing anymore. It's not something that we can think coming to church equals coming to God. I don't want you to miss that now. See, coming to church doesn't necessarily mean that you have made a connection to God. Because we know people who come to church and who have made no connection to God. See, coming to Jesus is not about the place, it's about making a connection. It's kind of like Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, you understand. And he came because he had a question in his mind. What his eyes saw about Jesus was different from what the Pharisees and the scribes were telling him about Jesus. And so he came to resolve that tension between what he saw and what he was hearing. Coming to Jesus is like that unclean woman who was bleeding and condemned, but risked further condemnation by touching Jesus ever so slightly, that he should have never known that somebody touched him. But she came. Coming to Jesus is like blind Bartimaeus, who could sense someone different had electrified the regular hum of the crowd. And so he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He understood that was his opportunity, and he wasn't going to let God pass him by. Coming to Jesus is kind of like Zacchaeus, who, though vertically challenged, any vertically challenged people in the house today, he decided he would climb up a little further, a little higher, just to make that connection with Jesus. Coming to Jesus is like the Syrophoenician woman who, when she came, you realize Jesus called her a dog. Jesus insulted her. But she pressed through the insult because she had a need. And her faith was a genius type of faith, a persistent faith who understood that even dogs get a few crumbs here and there. So she came to Jesus. What does it mean for you to come to Jesus today? What do you have to do to make that connection? Whatever it may be, whether you have to question, whether you have to touch, whether you have to shout, whether you have to climb, whether you have to persist, whatever you have to do, come to Jesus today.
Amen.
Make the connection, because when you make that connection, He will give you peace.
Amen.
He will give you rest.
Talk about it.
No, I thought that would be it. Jesus should have finished and the sermon should have been over. We should have gone home at that point, because isn't that what we need, you know? For those of us who are tired and struggling and wrestling, we just want rest.
Amen.
That's it. Just make the pain go away. Just make the constant thoughts subside. Just take the noise down a notch and let us hear the beauty of nature.
Amen.
That's it. That's all we need. And yet Jesus goes a little bit further. That makes me understand that some people come to Jesus and all they're looking for is the sampler. Amen, amen, amen. All they're looking for is the sampler. Because you know, the sampler is available for people who just want something, right? You know, the sampler, they'll give you the free sampler. But really what Jesus is trying to do is to induce you to come a little closer for the real thing. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Some people are satisfied with the sampler. What do I mean? Jesus fed 5,000 people and a few days later they came back to him looking. They couldn't find him. They were searching everywhere for him, and when they found him, they said, "Teacher, we've been looking for you. Why are you hiding from us?" And he said, "Look, man, I know why you're here. You're just here for the bread, aren't you? You're just here for..." Yeah, that's good. They came back for the free sample that was available to anybody. But here, Jesus takes rest to a different level. But it comes with a different price. Remember back in the day, folks would try to get you to use their software by giving you a free introductory period, right? 30 days free, 60 days free, and we would try it out. But as soon as that introductory period ended, we're like, cancel. Not interested, you know? It could be a dollar. They're charging, right? Nope. We're not going there. And many of us have multiple emails. I shouldn't be saying this in church. Many of us have multiple emails because we found something free and we wanted to prolong the introductory period. So we came up with SheldonRBryan@iCloud.com, ImaniDisciple@Yahoo.com, LaFar2002@Yahoo.com. We just had a string of emails. I'm talking to somebody today who loves the introductory period. You probably love the introductory rest because coming to Jesus is restful, but it is not the ultimate form of rest. If you want to find true, deep, abiding rest, you must work with Jesus.
Amen.
You got to work with Jesus, and that isn't free. Come on now. Jesus has a strange way of doing things because now he says, when you come to me and you are enticed by the free rest, the sample rest, I have something better for you, but it is not free. It's going to take you being yoked with me. I don't know what it is with God, why he keeps using these awful images, these paradoxical images. Because when I think of rest, I never, ever think of a yoke. When I think of rest, a yoke is the last thing that is on my mind. Amen?
Right.
When I think of rest, I think of going back to Jamaica, lying down on the white sandy beaches, looking over into the crystal clear blue waters. Anybody with me today?
Yes.
Maybe when you think of rest, you think about going camping by a lake or a stream or something like that. Maybe rest for you is just sitting down in your couch. You know that couch that the dimensions are perfectly fitted to your derriere. Amen. And just getting a little cup of popcorn and people waiting on you. But you never think of a yoke. What I'm figuring out is God's presence is so powerful. He can transform things. He can repurpose things so that even in our struggle, if Christ walks with us and works with us, we can find rest.
Yes.
If he walks with me, and if he talks with me, and if he's present with me, even my yoke becomes an instrument of peace. God's presence is so powerful, he transformed a manger, which used to be a symbol of poverty, into a symbol of royalty. With God's presence, even that can be transformed. He transformed bread from a symbol of just being the basic, it's poor folks' food, to being something that is indispensable. He is the bread of life. When we eat it, we live. God's presence is so powerful. He transformed a cross, which is a symbol of torture. It's a curse to die on a tree. The Old Testament says it best. Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. He transformed that into a symbol of deliverance and hope. God's presence is so powerful that he transformed the tomb, which is a symbol of death, the finality of death, into a symbol of resurrection. Why? Because his tomb is empty.
Amen.
He just visited it for 3 days and then he said, no, I'm going to repurpose it. Amen. I'm going to switch it around so that when people go to the tomb, they won't be thinking about the finality of death anymore. What will come to mind is the resurrection.
Amen.
So God says, take my yoke. Here is a yoke. And I want you to think about it every time you feel trapped by a circumstance, every time you feel burdened by a problem, every time you feel perplexed by a situation. I want you to see me yoked with you. I want you to picture me bound with you, wrapped up with you, tied up with you, tangled up with you in your problem.
Amen.
And then I want you to pull, because as you pull, I'm pulling with you.
Amen.
Christ says, take my yoke. Because the problem that we face is not the burdens that we bear. The problem, because everybody has problems. There's not one of us here today who doesn't have a problem. Yes, some of us have the Job-like problems, you know. Your kids are dead to you, or your finances are messed up. Your house is in shambles. Some of us have the Job-like problems, and others of us have the Solomon problems. You know, we got everything. We have 900 wives. I need to tell you this, that's just an illustration. I only have one wife. Amen? But some of us have 900 wives. We have property. We have money. We have genius. And what we don't have is meaning. The problem in life is not the problems in life, because everybody has problems. The issue is, who are you yoked with?
Yes.
It's not the burden. It's the yoke. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10. I'm coming to a close, but you got to get this part. Deuteronomy 22, verse 10. The Bible says, this is a law. Somebody says, this is a law. If you want to live a happy life, you must follow this law. Amen?
Amen.
This is a law. But Jesus' presence transforms this law. So I'm going to give you the law first, and then I will give you grace afterwards. This is the law. The Bible says, thou shalt not plow with an ox and with a donkey. It says donkey in my version. It says something else in other people's versions. But in my version, it says donkey. Somebody says donkey, right?
Donkey.
It's donkey. It's donkey. It's something else for other people, but it's donkey. Amen. We're in church today. Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful Sabbath. Donkey. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. Amen. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. Well, it doesn't take a scholar to tell you why you don't plow with an ox and a donkey together. Because the ox is a patient creature. It takes its own little time and does things steadily. But the donkey, I said donkey, I got to repeat that to myself. The donkey goes a little bit faster and a little bit more haphazard. The reality, though, is that in many of our relationships, we are yoked with an ox and with a donkey. I got to pause before I say that word. We are yoked with an ox and with a donkey. And if you're wondering who in the relationship is the donkey, maybe you are the donkey. Amen. I know I've been married now for 16 years and my wife is the ox and I am the donkey. Amen. You know, she likes to save and I like to spend. She makes the plans and I mess it up. Amen. She's very patient and methodical and I'm kind of haphazard and scatterbrained. It's part of my nature. And you know, after 16 years, her favorite saying, I've been saying this for, insert how many years you've been married. I've been saying this for 16 years and you still haven't gotten it. Well, that's because you joined yourself to a donkey. Amen, amen, amen. And the Bible says whenever you're in a working relationship and you're tied with somebody who doesn't seem to be pulling their own weight, that's when we become overburdened. And we get overburdened not just because the work is heavy, but we look at what we are doing compared to what the other person is doing. And we wonder, why can't they pull their own weight? It's tiring. It's frustrating. Why you don't put an ox with a donkey. No, I'm not asking y'all to go out and get divorced now. Amen. There's grace in the situation. Because the truth of the matter is, we are all donkeys in our relationship with Jesus. Man, the stuff that Jesus has to put up with. With his church. Amen?
Amen.
Tries the very patience of God, but his patience knows no end. And so Jesus says, whatever you're struggling with in life, it's not the situation that's the problem. It's the question is, who are you yoked with? The more critical question is, have you tried my yoke? I know it's repulsive because you want the rest, but you will do anything to avoid the yoke. He says, have you tried working with me? I've been praying that this week and a couple weeks now. Lord, work with me. Help me to work with you. Pull me closer to you. You know what it says? Jesus, keep me near the cross. For the love of Christ yokes me. It constrains me. It holds me. It keeps me together. It keeps me connected with him. Three things that Christ uses his yoke with for us so that we can work with him and not get tired. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Here's what the Bible says. Here's where we're going with this today. When we yoke ourselves with Jesus, it settles our mind. It settles our mind. Jesus prayed a prayer. It's a yoked prayer. want you to practice this yoke prayer. I challenge you to practice this yoke prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done." That's a yoked prayer because it's showing you there are two wills there, God's will and Jesus' will. Figure that theology, amen? But there are two wills, God's will, Jesus' will. And Jesus says, "Let me strap my will to your will." How do we get victory in life? How do we find victory in life? When we pray a prayer that is a yoked prayer. Say, "God, control my mind. I know I'm in charge of what I think. But can you just, Jesus, take the wheel?" That's a dangerous thing, right? Because if Jesus takes the wheel, you're not holding on anymore. You're relinquishing control to him. Jesus, take over. Not as I will, but thy will be done. Many of us, we need to start the work right there. It takes work for us to give our minds over to Jesus. The second thing is, the yoke is there to strengthen our muscles. You know, if we're in a race, the yoke would be far apart so you could move freely and run freely. But when you're pulling a load, which is what this text talks about, you need to be closer together. So the more you feel burdened today, don't run away from Jesus. Tell him, "Just bring me closer in. Bring me closer in so I can feel more of your strength. Bring me closer in so that you can pull this with me." And then finally, the yoke sanctifies our methods. The way they teach obedience to new elephants and to new oxen, to new any type of animal of burden is, you take an experienced animal of burden and you yoke them with an inexperienced animal. And the inexperienced one just wants to do their own thing, right? Do whatever. But after weeks of being yoked with the experienced one, you get something of their patience. You get something of their technique. You get something of their strategy. And over time, when we are yoked with Jesus, he teaches us how to walk. He teaches us how to work. He teaches us how to strategize. He teaches us what we should be praying for because we really don't know what to pray for. Stories told of Philip Brooks, a very powerful preacher. And a friend of his was staying the night with him and they saw Brooks praying and pacing the floor, walking up and down the floor, walking up and down the floor. So the friend asked him, "What's the problem?" He said, "The problem is, I'm in a hurry, but God isn't."
That's true.
I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. Jesus says, Are you burdened? Are you laboring and feel kind of burnt out? Feel burdened, feel overwhelmed, feel perplexed, feel depressed, feel burned to a crisp. You have no new ideas. It's just you've given up. It seems like it's a hopeless situation. He says, "Come. I could go get you, but I want you to choose to come. Choose every day to come to him." And then he says, when you taste the sampleress, somebody say sampleress. Don't just turn around and go home now. No, I want you to take me back with you into your everyday life and learn how to work with me because this is who I am. The more you work with me, the more you understand who I am. Pull me closer so I can sanctify your mind, so I can strengthen your muscles, and so that I can settle the methods that you use as you work with me. Trouble for many of us is that we're in a hurry, but God isn't. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Some rest can be given, while other rest can only be found. We're bowing our heads. Maybe you need to make a connection with God today. And if that's your prayer, not going to be long. Just say, raise your hand. Say, Jesus, help me to connect with you, beginning right now. And give me the desire not just to grab the samplers and run, but to work with you, to be yoked with you, to have you pull me in closer daily, so I may feel the sanctifying power of your presence in my mind, strengthening power in my muscles, and the power to teach and to instruct and to guide me in my methods. I see the hands. Praise God. Let's pray. Father God, today we have heard your invitation. You have come a mighty long way to make the connection with us. And now you're asking us to take one step towards you. We thank you for dying on the cross for us. We thank you for your power and your presence, which transforms our reality into a revelation of your grace. We know we would like to have a vacation as a symbol of rest. Maybe a couch, maybe a man cave, maybe a retreat, but you've used a yoke just to help us to see that you can give us rest even in the most trying circumstances. Somebody here has accepted that rest. Help us as we go forward from this service that we'll walk in the rest, holding you close to us at all times, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.